Welcome to another installment of Words of Great Encouragement from the Prince of Preachers. Three new meditations from the Scriptures, all in the theme of encouragement, taken and edited from the writings of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Jeremiah, chapter 17, verse 17. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. The path of the Christian is not always bright with sunshine. He has his seasons of darkness and of storm. True, it is written in God's word, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. And it is a great truth that faith is calculated to give a man happiness below as well as bliss above. But experience tells us that if the course of the just be as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day, yet sometimes that light is eclipsed. At certain periods, clouds cover the believer's sun, and he walks in darkness and sees no light. There are many who have rejoiced in God's presence for a season. They have basked in the sunshine in earlier stages of their Christian career. They have walked along the green pastures by the side of the still waters. But suddenly, they find the glorious sky is clouded. Instead of the land of Goshen, they have to tread in the sandy desert. In the place of sweet waters, they find troubled streams, bitter to the taste. And they say, surely if I were a child of God, this would not happen. Oh, say not so, thou who art walking in darkness. The best of God's saints must drink the wormwood, and the dearest of his children must bear the cross. No Christian has enjoyed perpetual prosperity. No believer can always keep his harp from the willows. Perhaps the Lord allotted you at first a smooth and unclouded path because you were weak and timid. He tempered the wind to the shorn lamb. But now that you are stronger in the spiritual life, you must enter upon the riper and rougher experience of God's full-grown children. We need winds and tempests to exercise our faith, to tear off the rotten bark of self-dependence, and to root us more firmly in Christ. The day of evil reveals to us the value of our glorious hope. And take heart at this encouragement. Psalm 149, verse 4, tells us that the Lord takes pleasure in his people. How comprehensive is the love of Jesus! There is no part of his people's interests which he does not consider. There is nothing which concerns their welfare which is not important to him. Not merely does he think of you, believer, as an immortal being, but as a mortal being too. Do not deny it or doubt it. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. He delights in his way. It were a sad thing for us if this mantle of love did not cover all our concerns. For what mischief might be wrought to us in that part of our business which did not come under our gracious Lord's inspection? Believer, rest assured that the heart of Jesus cares about your lesser affairs. The breadth of his tender love is such that you may resort to him in all matters. For in all your afflictions, he is afflicted. And like as a father pities his children, so does he pity you. The least interests of all his people are all borne upon the broad heart of the Son of God. Oh, what a heart is his that does not merely comprehend the persons of his people, but comprehends also the diverse and innumerable concerns of all those persons. Do not think, O Christian, that you can measure the love of Christ. Think of what his love has brought you. Justification, adoption, sanctification, eternal life. The riches of his goodness are unsearchable. You shall never be able to tell them out or even conceive of them. Oh, the breadth of the love of Christ! Shall such a love as this merit only half our hearts? Shall it have a cold love in return? Shall Jesus' marvelous loving kindness and tender care meet with but a faint response and a tardy acknowledgement? Oh, my soul, tune your harp to a glad song of thanksgiving. Go to your rest rejoicing, for you are no desolate wanderer, but a beloved child, watched over, cared for, supplied, and defended by your Lord. But what if we face the prospect of death itself? Well, Hebrews 2:14 tells us that through his death, Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death. O child of God, death has lost its sting because the devil's power over it is destroyed. Then cease to fear dying. Ask grace from God the Holy Spirit that by an intimate knowledge and a firm belief in your Redeemer's death, you may be strengthened for that dread hour. Living near the cross of Calvary, you may think of death with pleasure and welcome it when it comes with intense delight. It is sweet to die in the Lord. It is a blessing to sleep in Jesus. Death is no longer banishment. It is a return from exile, a going home to the many mansions where loved ones already dwell. The distance between glorified spirits in heaven and militant saints here on earth seems great, but it is not so. We are not far from home. A moment will bring us there. The sail is spread, the soul is launched upon the deep. How long will be its voyage? How many wearying winds must beat upon the sail before it shall be reefed in the port of peace? How long shall that soul be tossed upon the waves before it comes to that sea which knows no storm? Listen to the answer. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Yon ship has just departed, but it is already at its haven. It did but spread its sail, and it was there. Like that ship of old upon the Lake of Galilee, a storm had tossed it, but Jesus said, "Peace, be still," and immediately it came to land. Think not that a long period intervenes between the instant of death and the eternity of glory. When the eyes close upon earth, they open in heaven. Then, O child of God, what is there for thee to fear in death, seeing that through the death of your Lord, its curse and sting are destroyed? And now it is but a Jacob's ladder whose foot is in the dark grave, but its top reaches to glory everlasting. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. I'm headed for that glory land somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother up in the glory land. I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their song of sweetest praise drifts back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. This world is not my home, I'm just passing through. I'm headed for that glory land somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.